We are still in the middle of the Makaris. I wanted to deal now with the Rashba and the Ra'ah, two different issues. Just so you know who they are, I don't think we have we encountered the Ra'ah yet. Who is the Ra'ah? Fair question. So I feel good taking the time to spend shimmy. No. You got that. The Ra'ah was it's good. The Ra'ah was a contemporary of the Rashba in Barcelona, Rav Aaron Halevi. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's a grandchild of the Baal HaMor. What's that? He is the foe of the Rashba. The Rashba, who's I think the Rashba is a Talmud of Rabbeinu Yonah, whereas the Ra'ah is a Talmud of the Ramban. And the Ritva is the next generation who is a Talmud of the Ra'ah, which is why that chain, the Rashba, was extremely anti-philosophy, anti-rationalist. He's a Talmud Rabbi Yonah. The Ramban is much more complicated because the Ramban is a hybrid between a philosopher and a Kabbalist. At the same time, his Talmud is the Ra'ah, and the Ritva is exhibits tendencies of rationalism. Anyway, but those are the two major figures. The most famous work the Rashba wrote, you may know as Chidushim on Shas, but the most famous Chidushim are his commentary, which became the foundation for Yeridea, known as the Torah Sabayis. The Ra'ah wrote Hasagos on and the Torah Sabayis, at least for a good part of it, really is the first part of Yeridea, the first half, two thirds, or whatever. I don't know exactly how he would break it down. The Rashba's Torah Sabayis is the organizational principle that the Torah used when he did that particular chelek of his work. And the Ra'ah wrote Hasagos on the Torah Sabayis known as the Bedek Habayis. And then there was an anonymous work that circulated in Barcelona, but the Rashba, in one of his Chubos, makes reference to it that he wrote it. It was called the Mishmeres Sabayis, which were responses to the Ra'ah's Bedek Habayis. So, anyway, we have the Chiddush Ra'ah on some Masechtos. And here, this Ra'ah, I don't think it's a Likud. I think we actually really have his Peirush, I'm pretty sure. But in Bar Ilan, they don't have it, but it's useful because it's quoted in Kovetz Shitos Kamoi. So that's how I can at least get it without having to type it. So what I will tell you in advance, the Rashba is going to address one issue, which I think is fairly straightforward, but we should go through. The Ra'ah, there's not a machlokes here between the two of them, but if you look at the footnotes in the critical edition of the Ra'ah, they try to load a lot onto the Rishonim, which I think isn't there. There is a Shita, there's what Shita in the Torah, the Torah quotes Rabbeinu Yosef in Yeridei and Shimon Reish Beis, where this halacha of Shem and Dias is quoted, amongst many other things, who says that lav dafka if you have a sore throat. He said if you put a lot of shemen into it, where the shemen is the ikar, and let's say it's not for a sore throat, so then he says that that you make ha'eitz as well. And the Torah seems to be noted in that direction, although most Rishonim, it's assumed that a lot of Rishonim disagree with that. Anyway, we'll read the Ra'ah and you'll tell me what you think the Ra'ah actually says when we get this. So let's start with the Rashba first. And the Rashba, who would like to read the Rashba for me, Jake? Right. Impose upon you? Sure. Bottom of the sheet. Sure. If Ephraim didn't change any part, by the way, your Eitzah is actually a very good Eitzah, I've discovered. I should start to do a little more. With short sources, it's not worth it. With longer sources, it really is worth putting a column. It just makes it easier for people to read, if they're actually going to read it. Whereas when I do adult education, it's still useful, but I don't know how much people are going to read it. Now, I'll read pieces. Here, I assume that you're going to read it all, so I should try to remember in these longer passages. So, go ahead. Once you do it, Ayidea Nigron, so now it's both good for medicinal reasons and it tastes good. So that's called Mishkani Le'iliya. That's a higher form. Again, if it weren't Male Lachila, if only Male Lachua, then you wouldn't make a bar grace on it. But since it's good for eating as well that way, so that's changing something to a form that's an improvement. Umikomakom.
Okay,
Okay, so what this person, you don't know this immediately, but he's quoting Rav Haigon. Right? You get another line later, you see this is not the Rashba talking. He's quoting Rav Haigon, who says that it's only true on Shabbos, it's not true during the whole. And then he says, V'ishasilei. Okay, so Rav Haigon, at least the way he's quoted, the way the Rashba quotes, and the Rashba is going to complicate this a little bit, seems to distinguish between Shabbos and Chol, which is pretty odd. Pretty odd. You know, there is, you know what the difference typically, what's the difference between eating on Shabbos and eating during the week? Halachically.
Well, it's done Shabbos, that's part of the
mitzvah. But it's more than that, actually. That's true. So you can have omer chol too, it's just not a mitzvah. There is a difference, actually, between eating and Shabbos during the week. Shall we? Right? It's called keva.
Oh, yeah.
So for Trumas and Meister's purposes, while you're allowed to eat achilas arai before Miruach HaKri, whatever else you do, whatever your Shita Mishon is. We did this, right?
Yeah.
So while you're allowed to eat Achilas Arai, not on Shabbos. On Shabbos, it's automatically Keva. And if you malakit something for Shabbos, Bidavka, it becomes Nikva L'maisros with the Rabbanot, even after Shabbos. If you have that food sitting around that wasn't Nigmar Malakko, and on Shabbos you want to go eat it, you also can't eat it. Because that's considered Achilas Keva, definitionally. But that presumably is not, one could have argued, nobody does as far as I know. You know, you could have had a nachgumin hilchas brachos with that. Let's see how clever you are, Meiri. Oh, give the man a prize. By pasta
balbikistin. Oh, that's funny.
You could say that definitionally eating mizonos, anything that's a pas, but a balbikistin, a cracker, a cake, you could say on Shabbos, definitionally, you always have to wash and bench because your skin's terrible. I don't think anybody says
that's
that.
That's another one that your wife told me.
That is correct. So why not, by the way? Why are they different? Okay, here the briskers could come out. Come on. Jimmy?
I mean, it doesn't mean the same thing in
both places. Presumably you have to argue that there's a difference between Achilas Arai, Achilas Keva is not the same thing as Suda, Kriya Suda. That's what you have to say. That Kriya Suda is determined by, I'll call it, objective realities. You know, Achilas Keva, the Achilas Keva, I'm pretty sure, you know, there are lots of things in Maestros that could become Keva. I think when they talk about, let's say you're taking kernels of wheat and you mola malilos, so if you make a small pile, then I think you have dinim like that that's considered keva for the purposes of kovela maisers. We wouldn't say that that's keva, and that's during the week, not after Shabbos. We wouldn't say that that's keva lagave pasab al kisan. Keva lagave pasab al kisan means suda. Keva, lagave achila sarai nechles, keva maisers. You know, you shouldn't translate that snacking versus meal. You have to translate that differently. So, okay. If someone had come along, a Rishon had come along and said that Lagabe Shabbos, I could be totally wrong. It's possible we're going to uncover some Shita that says no on Shabbos by definition. I'm pretty sure I'm only making an inference from what my Rebbe once commented that Rav Shechter doesn't like. There's a machlokas. We'll see this inside and talk about it when we get to Pasa Babakistan. What happens if you're not Kovea on the Pasa Babakistan, but you're Kovea? In other words, you go to a Kiddush, and they make Kiddush, that's the Shul Kiddush, and they make a boy bread off, and let's say you drink, maybe you're not going to drink a little wine, maybe you're not. And then you want to be, you want to have Kiddush Malkum Suda, so you go have a cracker. You have a cracker or two. Clearly, that's not Kriyas in the Pasa Babakistan. And then you go and you stuff your face pressing Kugel and Shulin and whatever else, so you eat a full meal. But were you Kovea and Pasa Babakistan? You didn't really have that much Pasa Babakistan. You maybe had a Kazayis, but you didn't have much more than that. So there's a Machlokas, the Magad of Rami Neruch HaShulchan, whether or not you have to wash and bench for that. If you're koveas, if you have a sheer kriyas, but not on the pasah babakistan itself, whether it necessitates doing so. The Magen Avraham says yes. And the Rosh Hechter is bucket on that. So he says people. So people say, so he gives the example, people go, I'm pretty sure, people going through Shul Kiddush and doing that. But if, in fact, you know that on Shabbos, it's automatically teva, it wouldn't matter. So I don't like to have to make that inference. I don't think, if I'm your smiling, as if you know something that I don't know.
I think it's a broader suggestion, some of that one.
Okay, but it's not the practice, so we have to explain why it's not the practice. And I think the answer is because these are two different kinds of teva. I think it's very clear that when you look at the Mishnayos and Maasos, you will see, for example, let's say there's yayin in the gas, but you haven't put it in the barrel yet. So if you take yayin out of the gas, there's a difference between, there's a distinction. This is quoted in the Mishnayos, so the Dinam happened to be quoted, Agav, in the first parak in Shabbos. That there might be a difference between whether if you heat the wine or something like that, or you mix it with hot water, then it's koveya. If you're not mixing it with hot water, if you mix it, then something like that, then it's not koveya. Why? Because in one case you could pour it back into the gas, in the other case you can't. That's not about suda. That's kriyas. I take it back. Never mind. Is that maybe that's gemara malacha, not kriyas? I'm not sure. It might be Gemara Malach. But anyway, I think that you'll find Kviyas is not Suda when it comes to Maisers. There's a difference. Whereas when it comes to Pasa Avakistan, you have to be Koveas Suda on it. Okay. So the Rashba, anyway, says here, so that's sort of how you go. It sounds like on Shabbos you make one bracha, during the week you make another bracha, for what would be the identical scenario. Right? And it's not inconceivable in two different situations as take Pasa Avakistan. Sometimes you make hamochi, sometimes you make mizonos. But the difference between those two is how you're eating it. Here, presumably, when Rav Haigon describes this, at least at first glance, it's the identical thing with the identical purpose. Right? It's not that sometimes I'm eating it as a snack, sometimes I'm eating it as a suda. Here, if he drinks this shemen, ayunea nigron, when he choshesh begrono on Shabbos, so he makes ha'eitz. During the week, he makes, makes a shakal. So Rashba writes, Venira, Hedrick.
Venira, the love doubt for the Shabbos of the fall.
Right, brachos don't change based upon day of the week. On Mondays and Thursdays, and every other Tuesday, I make shachar on this. If it's a Wednesday or a Friday, and a Sunday, and the every other Tuesday, then I make days. What do you mean the brachos change in the days of the week? Ella,
Kosh Shotu Ali de Anigon, with Kavin Bogle of Pua, Penho, and Pen Shalas, the Varahala Boy Prayers, the Hadar Shemin, Ikar, the Poshe, and the Kavanera Pua, Ella, the Athena, Avan and Nigon, Ikar, and the Holy Shabbat, and the Shalak, and the Varahala.
Okay, now. So the Rashba thinks, and he's going to say that the Haigon holds this way also, that's what he's going to assert. You can agree or disagree with that. And he says that if your intent is for refuah and you drink it with anigron, then you make braids. If your intent is not for refuah, then the anigron is ikar and you make a shakal. It makes no difference which day of the week. In other words, circumstances will dictate that the same food can be treated differently for brachos purposes. And now we know of at least two different ways. One is pasah babakistan, which is whether you eat their kriyas or not. But that's really because pas should be hamotzi and you bench on it. But there's some kula legavi pasah babakistan. And then, in terms of determining what is the ikar and what is the tafel, so that depends upon why you're doing it. I can give you an example of something that might be change. I can give you an example of a bracha that might change based upon the time and the day you're eating it. Maybe, according to some. What bracha do you make on Maror when you have it Leil Pesach? What Birchas Hanenin do you make before you eat the Maror? Why not? Yes, except that. And by the way, what would happen if you didn't? You don't have to. Let's say you decided to use an apple for karpas because you dip it in the salt water. What would the din be? So there might be a machlokas to be shown them about this, but I think Tosus says somewhere, I hope I'm not inventing this, that you don't have to make a bracha tomorrow. But why? So you think Hamotzi Patas everything? So I'm gonna give you a little halacha lemaisa just before we ever get to the sugya, because we're gonna get to the sugya. I hope this semester, depends how fast we move. It's okay with me, one way or the other. What bracha do you make on dessert before bracha samasa? In today's day and age, when dessert is part of the meal, so they say. Well, Tosa says that too. But what bracha do you make?
Not
Dvarim Habon Mechamasa Suda. If you have ice cream, if it's a fleshit meal, a dairy meal, or if it's a part of ice cream, you have at the end of the meal, the dessert, you make a shakal.
Even before
Bracha Samasa? Yes. After Bracha Samasa, you make a Bracha Mishonah too. And if they bring you cake at the end of the meal dessert, you make a Mizonas on it. And if they bring you melon to eat, you make Hadama on it. And if they bring you some type of a fruit thing to eat, you make a bread paste on it. This is not well known. People say, oh, today it's different. Dessert is part of the meal. No, it's not. There's no difference for them. The kula, we have a huge kula. You don't have to make a bracha achrona. That Tosa says, because since we're not masalik the shulchan, it's not la'achar hasuda until you bench. But our dessert is not dvarim habon mechamas hasuda. That's ridiculous. It's not true. And haraya is, you never have a meal with just desserts. It's not any different than it was for them. Dessert is the exact same function as it was for them. It's not any different. The people, there is a shita, by the way. There is a shita in the Gemara. It's rejected. Rabbi Chiya said that hamotzi patters everything, and bar pinchas patters everything. We definitely don't pass not by hamotzi. Black and white in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if any Rishon disagrees. The Gemara is explicit at the end. The Papa quotes the Hilchasas. So there's a whole discussion. There's a whole discussion. We will do that, Sugya. But I just want you to know now, so I can spare you between now and the months that we get to the Sugya, so you don't make any errors. So, yeah, yes, Louis. I don't remember. I've been through this and I don't remember. It could be I'm forgetting something. But in fact, the whole point is that's when Pasa Baba Kisnan. That's what the Gemara, I think the Gemara says, the Gemara has a statement that everything that has a bracha before it requires a bracha afterwards, except for Pasa Baba Kisnan is one of the things that's listed. Precisely that you make a bracha Rishona, you make a Mizonas on it, but the benching patters it. We have to talk about that statement, but I'm pretty sure it's explicit. But anyway, I'll put that aside for a bit. Yeah, no, the answer is on cake, you make Mizonas. The question, but it's not, do you normally bring Mara in the middle of a deal? Is it Dabar Haba Mechanas
Asuda? Yeah, I eat Roman during the middle of the meal.
So the answer to this question, so Tosus, I think, says somewhere, one of the Rishonim says that on Leil Pesach it's called Dabar Haba Mechanas Asuda. So, but again, it's not that the bracha differs from one time or one day to another, it's that the day changes what the Matthias is. In the same way that eating a Nigron, Shalolu Rafua, all that does, you know, when you eat two the same identical food, it's normally always the same bracha. Except that based upon why you're eating the food, it determines what's the ikra and what's the tafel. That's what causes a shinui in the bracha. But the Rashba certainly says that just because, if the only difference is the day you're doing it, then for sure you don't make a different bracha. So he continues and says, oh, now one other question. According to the Rashba, what's the difference between the concoction of Shemen and Anigron when you do it, L'Shem Refuah versus L'Shem Anigron?
L'Shem Anigron,
the Anigron is the Anigron. No, I understand with dinner. What's the difference, actual physical difference in the food? Shemen? Does the Rashba say that?
Does he say that? Does he say there's a difference?
No, he doesn't. That's why, I know that's one of those unfair questions, but, you know. Did I tell you that famous story about Dr. Soloveitchik?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it wasn't in Jir. He was teaching. I remember this that I was probably a freshman in NCA. This was when we did brachos that year, so 1984. And somehow I know I must have looked across the hall. There was no building here, and the basement was there. And I know why, but I passed by his room, and it was someone who looked like the Rav a lot, even though I never met the Rav, never saw the Rav, never heard the Rav. But I know on the retrospect, I never thought I saw him. Anyway, so apparently I didn't realize he gave a shiur that year in, I think, Yushalmi Trumos. There was some good Goinim who were in that shir. Rabbi Clapper was in that shir, I think. Rabbi Gideon Rothstein was in a whole bunch of really sharp guys who were in that shir. And he gave them, you know, he asked them, he must have given Maramakomas, or maybe he didn't give Maramakomas, the things they knew they were supposed to look up. And so he came in and he asked them, what's the difference between the Bava and the Yerushalmi on this issue? And one moment of the entire shir, and not a single person knew. Finally, he was famous for this. If you didn't prepare, as far as he was concerned, he would walk out. And so finally he slams his Gemara shut and says, you dolts, there is no difference. Okay, so that's not a fair question, but the point is, I only ask that question in light of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah, does say something about that. And do you think the Rashba agrees or disagrees with the Ra'ah?
It's unclear. It doesn't seem like it matters.
Right. And how does that factor in with the Ra'ah?
The Ra'ah also mostly cares that it's about Meruba. Kavana
isn't. I don't agree with that second half of the statement. I am reluctant to create a machlokas of Rishonim here. I'm very reluctant to create a machlokas. It's a shita. Right? The shita of Rabbeinu Yosef in the Torah, who says that there's no difference between Shasile Lerfor, Shasile for the Anigron, clearly, I think my colleague explicit, it depends upon the way you made it. But the Ra'ah, we'll read the Ra'ah in a little bit. I don't know that you can, I think what the Ra'ah is just describing is the norm. Let's say you have a sore throat, but you can't handle too much oil, so you use Anigron because it has enough oil to ease your discomfort. You would say that the Anigron is now still the Ikar because you didn't make the Shem and Ruba. I don't think so. I think he just says that the way you know, typically, that it's being done the Refuah versus it being done the Anigron is because you normally add more Shem in it. I don't know that that is an absolute necessity. That's just Derek Darkobakach. And the Rashba might very well be Moda, that typically speaking, when you want the Anigron for Refuah, you're going to add a little extra Shem in it. It's putting too much where it's not explicit. Your knowledge of Rabbeinu Yosef Shita, through quotes, that may be a totally different shita. So we're going to read the Ra'ah. Are you sneaking ahead of the Ra'ah, Jay? Is that what you're doing? I know, but looking at it again, we may as well be thinking about this question as we read. I don't think you can put a machlokas in here between the Rashba and the Ra'ah on this particular issue. I think if you want to put anybody, and someone even saying, and I see in the notes, he says the Ritva says it also. I don't think the Ritva says it, that the Ra'ah, that the Ritva and the Meiri, I didn't look up the Meiri, both say you need both Shem and Meruba and Choshesh Bekrona. I looked in the Ritva, I don't think it's there. The Ritva says, like his Rebbe, the Ra'ah, talks about Shem and Meruba. But that just may be because that's, in fact, reflective of the reality. Right, the Rashba might very well recognize that what he's coming to say is that, and you'll see how he's going to explain the Bahag, why the Bahag might not really be distinguished between Shabbos and Yom Tov, is that he's just coming to say that your Kavana matters and the day of the week doesn't matter. Let's read how he now works out the Bahag. Go ahead. On the place, right? In other words, the Gaon is saying the following, and it's very funny. He looks up at Mucha Milsa, but Mucha Milsa normally is used in what context? That expression, something, or is it Mucha Milsa? Normally, it's used in the context of what? Marathayim. Mucha Milsa is usually for somebody else. And that's what Mucha Milsa is. You know, it might be Mutter to do this on Shabbos, Mucha Milsa this way. So, in fact, that's in effect a bot. And that's what, in fact, the Brisa is saying when it comes to Tanigron on Shabbos, which is it's only also if it's Mucha Milsa that it's being done before. Mucha Milsa means others. Do you know why you're drinking Tanigron? Because you have a sore throat. But it's Mutter anyway if it's not Mucha Milsa Shem before. So it's very funny language. But he says that, I don't think this means Mucha Milsa in the classic sense, the other see. But as what we're trying to determine why you're doing what you're doing.
Mucha Milsa, even by Marshall, isn't necessarily others are seeing it.
Don't start with me, okay? Amaris Ayin, when the Gemara, you invokes it, it certainly is. You're addressing a different issue. Is Maris Ayin Asr B'Chadri Chadarim?
Yeah.
The short answer to that question is, yes, if the Gemara asks it, the Farish because of Maris Ayin, but otherwise, no. It's only Komalkom Sh'amruch Asr Chachamim, Maris Ayin Asr B'Chadri Chadarim, only Chamas. If you want to go into a McDonald's to get a Coke, or to use the bathroom in the middle of your Huppetsville, you know, in the Adirondacks, it's mutter to do so.
Right.
Even though it might, I'm not saying it's aser if there were the Jews there, because people might also assume. But let's say it would be very misleading. Let's say we're a restaurant with a questionable hashgacha, and you want to walk in to use the bathroom. So it might be aser to do so if it's a restaurant like that in Teaneck, New Jersey. We have one of those. And it's still Veggie Heaven still exists? Or did it die in COVID? I don't remember. You know, talking about the corner of Garrison, Sussex, and Cedar Lake. I haven't noticed whether it's still good. Whereas if Veggie Heaven were in Yahapitsville in the Adirondacks, it would be, and there are no Jews around, it's mostly the Gom. We don't say the Hadri Hadar is wrong. It's only if it's the Gezerah and the Gemara, Mishum Marasai. But the Gemara, once the Gemara invokes Mocha Milsa, Lo Mocha Milsa, the Gemara is saying it's only Osir, someday it's only Osir, if it's not apparent what you're doing. So I don't think it means Mocha Milsa to others, but we're trying to determine, we're almost objectively being koveil what your kavana is. So if it's during the week, then why would you drink it al yedei anigron? What are you trying to do? Coat your throat with olive oil. So during the week, you know what you do is you take a little cup of olive oil. I am tempted to try it. I'm curious whether it works. If you have a sore throat, gargle a little olive oil and spit it out. You're not brave?
I'll let you try it before that.
Thank you very much. I'm just glad I'm not in the army and you're the commander who tells me to go first. Okay? I'd be curious to know, but the point of Hanzon is that if, in fact, your purpose really was for refuah, you would have done it b'fei asma. That's why, probably, you're really doing it for the negro. But Abba B'Shabbos, okay, Jay? End of the first line. Avol b'Shabbos. But you can't do it alone. You can't gargle and whatever you're not allowed to do with shemen, because it's Shabbos. When we call makom. Right. It all depends really what your kavana is. So for the Rashba, does it really matter whether you add shemen merubah or not? I mean, the answer is it all boils down. Fundamentally, it's a question of what your kavana is. The only thing you could say is that the Rashba, where the Rashba could differ with the Ra'ah, perhaps, is let's say you. I mean, again, it's impossible because the person just has to know why they're doing it. I'm not really. It's really hard to say there's a machlokas over this. Really hard to say that the Ra and the Rashba are arguing. I don't think so. V'hainu, go ahead. Do kimna, go ahead. Sorry, v'hainu, third line.
V'hainu do kimna bechosis bidono. The
Alma. Alma. That's one of the four almas. The Alma from this we see.
The Alma lo mishkachat la leolah de Ra haleavereheis. Ela bechosis bidono haleavereheis.
Benosim Tocha Negron Shalo. Okay, and now the Gemara said the Had. So he says that the reason why we have the Choshesh Begrono because it's only by Choshesh Begrono that we say that it's possible that the Shemen is the Ikar, and it's the only way to get a Bari Pri Eitz. This is clearly against Rabbeinu Yosef that the Torah brings. This is explicitly against it. That's fine. That I will readily concede. For the Rashba, if you're drinking it for the because you enjoy the olive oil, but it's not l'shem refuah, definitionally the anigron is eker. Okay. V'had
amaisi
b'raisa. That's why. In other words, the Brisa happens to be talking about someone who's Choshesh Begrono. But it's not because there's nothing to do with Shabbos. It happens to quote, at least the way the Bavli quotes it, it's not the way it's found in the Tosefta Shabbos, it quotes it with the Shabbos with Shabbos in it. But it has nothing to do, from a Hilchos Brachos perspective, has nothing to do with Shabbos. Okay, so now let's take a look at the Ra'ah, and you'll tell me what you think. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, thank you. Jake Ephraim, please read. Okay. Now, you can put a lot into... Now, when the Ra'o says that it's Dachshav you made B'Shem and Merubah, what does he say? Well, let me ask you a question. I think this is clear. In the category of Ikar and Tfela, if you have, let's say, a mixture, you have a fruit salad, and you have different kinds of things in it. Some of them are hadama, you have bananas in there. We make hadama bananas. I don't know why, meaning I don't know exactly how bananas grow and what lead. I don't know if everybody agrees to that, but that's what we do. You have bananas in there, and you have apples in there, and you have peaches in there. Let's say bananas and apples. You have banana and apple fruit salad. What bracha do you make on it? And how do you decide? Then just have a banana. Yeah. How do you decide, sir? Loaf. Normally you'd have it based upon the loaf. Now, that is a tool in the Ikar Tafel determining arsenal. Loaf. It's not the only one. There are a number of different things here. Now, is the Rashba invoking that here? Does it mean when it's Shem and Merubah, does that mean the Ra'ah? The Ra'ah is Shem and Merubah, which, by the way, is a very funny term. I'll explain to you why in a second. If I know exactly where I'm going. Does Shem and Merubah mean that it's a rove of Shemen? There's more Shemen than underground? What do you think, Jake?
Presumably it does, because you said
what?
Based off of that.
Do you think that Shem and Merubah, when he says, Enasam bo Shem and Merubah, does he mean that the Shemin now is the majority of it?
I know you don't, but that's what I thought.
So
if you say that, that's what makes it.
But I guess obviously I don't know. I assume that no matter even when you're sick, you're not putting more oil than is actually.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Just means a lot.
Yeah.
Or does it just mean more than you
know? Now, it's a funny term because, by the way, here, I'm going to get Ronnie on this one now. Now, you're just really careful because you're stepping into a snare. When we say that the Kohen Gadol, you'll see why Shem and Merubah is a very funny term here. When we say the Kohen Gadol are two kinds of Kohanim and Gadolim, there's a Mashroch B'Shem HaMishcha and there's a Merubah B'Gadim. What does Merubah B'Gadim mean? And I do be quiet, you know, you're a ringer. You've heard from here.
I don't.
What do you think Merubah B'Gadim is?
Increase.
Okay, good. So you fell into the traps. First, that would be, by the way, that is the way we usually vocalize Merubah B'Gadim. I believe the correct term is, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to say Merubah B'Gadim, which you could still translate that way, but it means something else. You know what the word Resh Beis Yud means in Aramaic? To anoint. Right, Vayim Shach Oso is the Rabbi Asay, and therefore Merubah B'Gadim is the same construct as Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha. One of them is anointed with Shemen, one of them is anointed by just wearing the extra B'Gadim. That's Merubah B'Gadim. That's an Aramaism in the Mishnah. In fact, I think because if you look in the, and this is how I figured realized it, if you look in the good manuscripts, it's Merubah B'Gadim. Even Merubah B'Gadim doesn't make sense. As a grammatically, it makes no sense, right? But Merubah is very much parallel to Mashuach, so that's why it's funny that Nathan lo Shem and Merubah. He doesn't intend it that way, but that's why I laughed when I thought about it. Ephraim, you want to comment?
Is the Aramaic Rabbi literally to anoint, or is it just to sort of
elevator.
You could talk about semantically how it comes to be, but Mashach is always translated that way. Right.
Even in cases like Hasach HaZayayin, like does it mean anoint in general or specifically like?
What's that?
As in, is it like
Hasach? Well, I don't know that there is such a thing. In other words, Mashuach, Mashach also doesn't mean to anoint. That would be Sach.
Yeah.
It's a different word. So it's not a common word. I think that word only appears in one place in the Torah, which is in the parsha of the Shemen HaMishkan. Al Basar Adam Lo Yisach. I don't know if there's any other occurrences of that word other than that outside that parsha. So anyway, Jake, I hear what you're saying. I think he doesn't, just given what he describes, you know, your initial reading, which I can't say is wrong, I read, is that it's a majority Shemin, but not so much Shemin that it's like unpalatable.
Yeah, it could be like
51%. Right. That's not how I read. So if you read it that way, then undoubtedly this is a different category. This is a different approach already. It's a different approach already. And then the Ra'ah could be holding light for Ben Yosef. I don't think that's what he says. I think he just says you put in a lot more oil than you normally would, because you normally don't put in so much, so that it's for four purposes. Now, what would the Ra'ah say? I think that's just a dictation of Machis, not because it's halakhically per se required. Right?
I don't have.
In other words, then normally when you put in a shemen, he would have said, by the way, shemen hu arov, something like that. But it has to be, in other words, if you don't put in a lot of shemen, it's not being done the refuah, in which case the shemen is not the ikar. I think one can read way too much into this ra'ah. If you put the ra'ah and the rashba in a room together, I could see each one of them saying to the other, could be.
Who's the
only
putting
10%
of oil in that ikar?
Right.
Generally, and you didn't get that for the refuah.
But the Ra'ah was just saying that wouldn't happen. People don't do that. The fact that you're not mired by the Shemin means you're not really doing it for purposes.
But he says the reason why we're mentioning must be the Ra'ah is because that's where we put in Shemin Ruba.
Correct, because that's the only way, in other words, they go together. The only way the Shemin is what you're really after. When you're after the Shemin as opposed to the Shemin just flavoring the Anigro, you're only going to do that when you're Chash B'Gerono. And it's only going to be effective as opposed to regular Negron when you're married to the Shemin.
Why is he focusing on the volume of the Shemin?
Well, because that's how you know. Would the Rashba say that it's identical and we don't care? I don't know. Because this seems to me boiled down to Matzis. The Rashba thinks that even though you're not married to the Shemin, it is a Machlus and Matzis. How did people do it before? And the Rashba would say, well, people did it in the refuah even by not adding any extra shemen. It was just their kavana, their focus in their heads. And the Ra'ah says, no, that they did it in the refuah by being married by shemen. I'm more comfortable, if you want to make a machlokas, even though we hate a machlokas and metzias, in terms of logic, that makes more sense to me than saying, no, the Rashba says, the Rashba says, it doesn't really matter that you did nothing, that
I can make a machlokas.
But it has to be your kavana here. You're going to say the argument, the Rashba says kavana is sufficient, and the Ritva and the Ra'ah says you need a maisa. Is it machshava versus maisa? That's what we have here.
Since I'm doing it but the reason I'm making the bracha is not because of the making the bracha because of the okha. So, and as far as Achilah is concerned, Igor is still that nigel. Unless you have Shemin Ruba, Bokat, that even as far as the Achilah is concerned, most of the Achilah is actually the Shemin.
Only if you say that the Shemin is a rope.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I agree. I said that before. I said if Jake's initial reading is correct, then he means rope. Then I agree. Then he's saying that in order to get to be an ikar, it has to be a rove.
Yeah.
And then I could see why somebody says that maybe the kavanah doesn't even matter.
Yeah. So once there's something called the ma'ot and matias, then
I'm just not. I think that the Rashba and the Ra'ah could agree with one another, and the Ra'ah is just describing what the norm would be, and the Rashba might say nechanam. The what you have to say, the only thing you have to say, is that the difference with the Bahat, with the Halachas Gedolos, is that during the week, in other words, somebody might add a little more shemen than ordinary. And during the week, what Haigon was saying is that unless you're, again, one of your favorite Kavanas, the Rafua, the way Rashba said, we're going to assume that you really didn't do the Rafua because during the week, you would have just taken it whole, you know, straight. But I agree. If you're going to read, going back to Ra, if you're going to read it as Meruba means actually a rove, so now you've established how this is objectively different than another Anigron. Another regular Anigron, the Shemen is a mean. This Anigron, the Shemen Fuad, the Shemen is a rove, and that's what makes it Iker. So it's the rove that's making it Iker. And if the rove makes it the Iker, it doesn't really, you might even go a step further and argue, it doesn't really matter whether you Hoshesh Begrona or not. What makes the Shemen the Iker, that's why I'm not so happy to go this way, Jake, the way you I don't know where you want to go now, and Chas V'Shalom, I never try to beat anybody into submission to say Kavlu Dati, I might be wrong, but Chas V'Gerona really, in principle, should become almost extraneous. In other words, once you make, if what makes the Shemen the Iker is that it's Rove, what difference does it make why you're doing it?
Because that's the only reason why you put make Shemen Rove. That's just the justification for why.
So you're going the other direction. You're saying, but fundamentally, it should matter.
Yeah, fundamentally, it doesn't matter.
So, another way of putting this is that there are two. If the Rashba says there are two potentially incompatible issues here. One is that Yini Choshesh V'Gerona. Two is that the Shemen is Meruba. Now, if you say the Shemen is Meruba, and that makes the Nikar, if you say Shemen is Meruba means it's a rove, then the Choshesh V'Gerona almost becomes extraneous. If you say that the Shemen Meruba is not that it's a rove, it's just that you put more Shemen than you ordinarily do, then the Ikar is Choshesh V'Gerona. And that's just what's Mochiach. The fact that you add the Shemen is was because Choshesh V'Gerona. But it's not inherent.
But does the Shemen Meruba not then become somewhat extraneous?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Unless you say he requires both, but then the question is why?
Yeah, no, I don't see a reason.
Right?
He's emphasizing the Nibuk Hashem a lot.
He does. That's a great pun. But he is, but that may just be because otherwise you're going to look at this and how do we determine what he's doing? Firstly, somebody's Choshesh V'Gerona could just want to have an Anigron because he likes an Anigron. He's an Anigron kind of guy. He walks into a bar and says, bartender says, what flavor, what beer you like? Santa, yes, I'm an Anigron here. Right? You have to just like, how would you know? How do you know why he's doing it? The answer is, typically, you put in Shemen Meruba. Whatever that, and again, whichever that means.
Why did it so important that I be able to have so that I don't stop him
making
the wrong
ruffle
and he goes to eat it? Why is it
being...
No,
there's no bartender here. My point is that...
So I know it's significant, maybe a little bit, but why emphasize he says it like three or four times?
But this goes back to the Mukha Milsa question in the Rashba as well. Right? They're both working in this construct that they think that it's almost for oneself to be able to interpret one's own motivations. It is helpful to be able to look at what you're doing here. So on the one hand, during the week, it's helpful to interpret your motivations. Put on the brakes. Ephraim is not a moving target. It's helpful during the week to understand your motivations when you that you're not swallowing it whole. But you could, if you really want, be miscopying the reform, and then you make boy brakes. And for the Ra'ah, it's helpful to understand your motivations if you put in a little extra shemen. Is it, if the person says, Hinini mukhar mazuman to eat this anigron l'shem rafua, because I hate anigron, but I need it for my sore throat. You're going to say the Rashba, the Ra'ah is going to say nothing to it. Says you got to make a shahakal. Really? Maybe. So I think it's too easy, given the confluence both of the realia and the intent here, it's too easy to read so carefully and create this distinction on the Rashba, and I'm not sure it's really there. There is, it's not a perfect example, but it's theoretically very much it's halach l'maisa. Is there Yehereg v'ayavor on the erva of Nida? I know this is Jake is looking at me. It's like, what planet is my Rebbe coming from? Where did he jump to this? It's one of my pocket examples. I learned in 11th grade, there's a machlokas, I think it's 11th grade, there's a machlokas that we showed him, maybe it wasn't 11th grade, maybe it was late. There's a machlokas that we showed him where the nida is Yehari Gal Yavna. Now, the Rambam doesn't state it explicitly, but it sounds like in Hilchos Isuribiyah, it's most all the rayas, and he doesn't make any distinction. Now, there's a Tosas Harash, and it's really Tosas, at the beginning of Yeramos, which they point to say that nida is not an erva. Now, what is the context in which it's being stated? So, without trying to be too complicated, if a man's brother's... I know Mitzvah's case now, actually, yes. And there are going to be probably multiple Mitzvah's cases of Chalitzas and Eretz Yisrael. So a man's brother dies without children. There's a mitzvah of Yibam or Chalitza. So we don't do Yibam anymore. I think even Sardin probably don't do it anymore. To do it. Okay. I suspect it's not common, though. You can do Chalitza. Ashkenazim asa do Yibam. Sardin say you can do Yibam. And that's the Mechaber's position. Now, what happens if in addition to being one's brother's wife, which is an erva, but the Torah is not through that when it comes to Yibam. That's definitional. The Torah was under the Isser of Eshesha. What happens, let's say, two brothers marry two sisters? So the halacha is, there's no Yibam or Chalitza. If there's another erva involved, the heter is Yivama Yavo Aleha, is only Matir Eshesha. It's not Matir any other Arayas. And the first mission Yivamos, in case you're wondering, if this is not a common occurrence, but if there are multiple possibilities of occurrence, the first mission Yivamos says there are 15 examples, 15 different Arayas in the parish of Arayas, so 15 different relationships where you could have this case where the one brother a brother married her, but it's an erva to the other brother. I gave you the simple and most probably, if a case to happen, the most common case, which is not that common, but two brothers marry two sisters. So I have a question for you. If that's the case, then you could wind up with Yibam Chalitza, the lottery of what time of month it is. Let's say a woman is Anida when her husband dies, and now, and one other important hara. I got one of these details. Two brothers married to two sisters. One brother dies. There can't be Yibam Chalitza. Why? Because besides Eshesach, it's Achos Ishta, right? It's his wife's sister. Now let's say the living brother's wife dies.
Well, can you give him afterwards?
1 second. Living brother's wife dies. Ordinarily, when one's wife dies, he's allowed to marry his wife's sister. It's only erva, familial erva, which is permissible after death. All others remain also even after death. The penalty might be downgraded, but the issur remains. But let's say, so the answer is, if achos ishto, if when his brother dies, his brother's wife is achos ishto, she's a surfer. Now, so it doesn't matter if his wife subsequently dies, and now the Achos Ishta should disappear. Okay. So now let's go to our case of Anita. If at time his brother died, his wife is Anita, why don't you say, and now that she goes to the mikveh, it doesn't help. The Mishnah doesn't count Nida. So Tosis points this out in the bottom of the first Daf of this. And I don't know why Tosis or Rush may be a little more explicit that a Nida is not an Erva like the others. I don't think, so they want to say, oh, according to Tosis or Rush, Nida is not Erva Yavna. You have to look at the context in which Tosis or Rush is writing. He's not saying that a Nida is not an Erva for the Parsha of Erva Yavna. It's in the Parsha of the Rayas from the Torah. Maybe he does all the way. I have no idea. No idea whether he agrees with the Rambam Bichlal. Even though the Rambam is not explicit either. But you have to look at the context in which the statement is being uttered before you draw conclusions. I don't know if there's a Rishon who holds that Nida is not an Erva for Yahweh purposes. I might jokingly say, I don't know if there's a Rishon who does hold that it's Erva for Nida purposes. The Mechaber definitely postulates that way. The Mechaber in Hilchos Nida, in some of the Harkos issue, we don't hold like that Mechaber for other reasons, but the Mechaber is clearly assuming Nida is an Erva for Yahweh. I don't know that the Tosas HaRash disagrees with that. And when we don't postulate that particular Mechaber, it has nothing to do with this. It has to do whether or not the particular action involved, it has to do with man's wife. It's on the assumption of that not only is Arayu Seher Vayavar, but even Abisrayu Arayu Seher Vayavar. Meaning even accessories to that. So if you hold that Lo Sikravu, the issue of Nigia, is Do Raisa, then Lo Sikravu, it's a Machon. The Rambam. Sure. Yeah. Rambam. Yeah. Right, it's a question whether it's a real drasha or a smachma. It's machlokas Rambam and Rambam. And there are other Rishon who weigh in, but That's a famous machlokes. So lo sikravu, if it's the raisa, and you hold like those rishonim who say that abizrar the gimel averus, or like the gimel averus. So sheher v'yavur, that's the context which the mechaber is talking. We happen to not hold like the mechaber because we assume that if a man's wife is a nida and she's sick, whatever the circumstance, it's not lo sikravu even according to the Rambam because it has to be negiya shachiva. It has to be with sexual intent. But bottom line is, the Mechaber is assuming, and that point isn't contested, that Nida, he's assuming two things. One, which the Shulchan Aruch does paskin like in Kufnu and Zayin in Yerudea, not in Hilchos Nida, but in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, that Abizrael the Gimel Averos is the Hergai Avod like the Gimel Averos. And in Kuf Tzadi Hei or Vav, at the end of Kuf Tzadi Hei, the Rambam is assuming, the Mechaber is assuming that Nida is an erva for the Hergal Yavor purposes. So even, he says that even if his wife is Pesachana, he can't help her because it's Abizrai the Gilarais. And we don't pass it like that because we don't assume that Losikravu is an Isidaraisa when it's not Negiya Shochivan, according to anybody. And therefore, certainly if the speaking of Fabashim may not be, one could assist his wife under those circumstances. So anyway. Bottom line is that when you read the Tosfos Rashi, it's nice. It's Nidas not Erva. Yes, in this particular context, right? Because it's an Erva of a different nature. It's an Erva that's on off, on off, on off. But that doesn't mean that for the Hergal Yavar purposes, for the Gimel Averus, that it's not in the Parsha of Arius. Right? It's a. I won't say anything more on this now. But it's a general question in the Parsha of Arius. What do you do with Zohar and what do you do with Behema? The Gemara is, the Behema, I think, is clear, is not, well, we Paskin, the Rishonim who talk about it say that Zachor is Eher Valyavor, Behema is not. Behema is not considered Arayos, but Zachor is, even though they're both in the same parsha. Okay, anyway, but be that as it may, you have to look at the state, now we're back to Brachos, okay, but so you've got a very nice piece of lumnus there. But you have to look at the context in which it's being uttered. So, Jake, you might be right. If you take your piece and you say it means rove, now you have standard Iker Tafel categories, and I would be inclined to think that. They're right that he holds like Rabbeinu Yosef at the Tur quotes, right? That it makes no difference whether you're Choshesh Begrono or not. I'm not inclined to read it that way, but, you know, what is the line, the Pasukim Eov I like to use? Im shagisi haniach li iti talun meshugasi. Okay, something like that. I gotta get the exact number. Okay, so fine. So that's the shita of the ra'os. So it's an issue. We'll leave the issue as it's not fully resolved. Okay. The last thing that I want to talk about briefly, but we kind of discussed this already, the Gersa in the Braisa that we have has Shabbos in it. It does have a Choshesh B'Grono B'Shabbos. Obviously, that is not in the Nusach of the Tosefta in Shvius or Trumas. Why not? Because those have nothing to do with Shabbos. In fact, really, 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 what is the difference between being Ya'arenu as opposed to Nosem and Tocha Negro? What's the difference between those two? What? No, I want to say that's a separate show. I want to talk about Rashi and Tosfos, which I say I didn't leave a lot of time for. But the question is it Derech Achila / Stia? I'm not distinguishing between those two. Is it a normal way of eating it or not? Because you're not allowed to eat Truma in a non-normal way. You're Mevatel the Mitzvah. And you'd be mastered the truma by and not through achila. And by shvius, similarly, not shvius, peir shvius, were nitna la'ochla, not lahefseid. So you have to, those things that are normally eaten have to be eaten and eaten, not consumed, but eaten. And therefore, you're not allowed to be boleya the shemen, because that's not eating it in a normal way. But if you put it b'tocha nigron, that is. So you're allowed to do that, the tocha nigron. And, okay. Fine, because straight drinking shemen is hefseid on the shemen, or it's not achila, I'll put it that way, it could be hefseid on the gafra, whereas anigron is in fact a normal way of eating things, so you could put a little extra oil in, or a little extra oil, or just put it into that anigron, whichever way you want to read, if you want to read machlokas, rashman, or and that way it's considered normal achila, it's mutter by truma, it's mutter by shvius, it's mutter by maaseh sheni. And on Shabbos, what does it mean? Shabbos, remember, the by Perush Shvius and Shumos, it's Achila versus non-Achila. On Shabbos, what is it? It's Achila versus Refuah. that refuah is a kind of non-achila, but there would be, on Shabbos, it would be permissible to take olive oil and to pour it in a circle on your plate because you're amused by watching it in a way that it will no longer be consumable. Because it amuses you. You like to, you like, I wouldn't say drawing pictures, but you just love the luminescence of the olive oil on top of that food that now renders it inedible. It just gives you such onay Shabbos. On Shabbos, it would be mutter. By Trumas and Shvias, it would be also. Why? Because by Trumas and Shvias, it's the master of the Ochel, where there's a mechir to eat those foods. On Shabbos, it would be mutter. Why? Because even though it's not Achila, it's also not Refuah. Right. So they're not really identical, but the literary formulation of all three Tosefta's is the same. Only in our Brisa is quoted, only in the Tosefta is quoted in our Sugya, the word B'Shabbos is added in. Now, I think that the parallel between the Sugyas, however, does have an impact, should have an impact, I think, upon how you interpret Rashi or Tosfos, which way Rashi or Tosfos. You guys did Rashi or Tosfos? You prepared it? So Rashi, the way Tosfos read Rashi, Pashtus and Rashi, is by Shemen, you're not allowed to... actually, neither of them work. You're not allowed, when it says Lo Yar Enu, means you're not allowed to gargle it and spit it out. Yeah. But according to Rashi, what would happen if you would swallow the Shemen?
That would be okay.
That would be okay. That's what it sounds like. And whereas for Tosfos, no. That even if you swallow the Shemen, it's not okay, because it's Muchach, it's being done the Refuah. But... you can put in the Tocha Nigra where you swallow the Nigra. You don't gargle the Nigra. And then that's fine. Yeah, Jake, you want to say something? No. Now.
The problem with that is that it assumes that Yar Enu and Olea are synonyms.
No. Oh, according to Rashi. Yes, that's correct. Now, and a different way of putting it is that if Rashi would correct, it shouldn't have introduced Nigra. It should have said Lo Yar Enu. But you can be Balea. That'd be a different way. Synonyms, those don't shachnit. But, and you might have said the difference anyway is Lo Yar Enu would be that you can't gargle and swallow. Whereas if you swallowed straight, it would be okay. Right? Yar Enu is an onomatopoeia. Right? So, if you asked me though, which would you say? So the Tosefta, you could read Rashi and say the following. You could swallow the Shem if you want, but that's not normal. Normally what you do is you gargle it. Normally you would gargle and spit it out. But Rashi could say that if you want to be Balea, it's fine. You just can't do the gargling, right? Because if somebody sees you drinking Shemen without gargling it, they'll just think you're a nut. Not that you're drinking it before, because you're crazy. Even if for refuah purposes, you would just spit it out. Whereas if you gargle it and then spit it out, so you could say that for Rashi, not that, now the swallowing means and without gargling. Okay, but the Gemara then didn't have to introduce anigra. Except for why would it do so? It would do so because it's very hard to do that. It's unpleasant. So that's why normally a person would do a nigron, and that's the way to do it. Instead of being balea, where they'll just look at you like a nut, you do it through a nigron, and they'll look at you like you're thirsty. And that's fine. And when you think about the parallels between the Brises, though, whose interpretation would seem to be more likely? Well, let me ask you a question. According to Rashi, would you be allowed to be balea the Shem and Shal Truma? Would you be allowed to be balea the Shem and Shal Shrias?
Presumably
not. By Shabbos, it would be mutter if not for, in other words, by Shabbos you could argue it doesn't look like it's refuah, but you can't argue it's derech achila. In other words, when it comes to, it's hard to argue when it comes to trumas and shvias that the gargling makes a difference or not. It's much, the way you have to read the Brice, I think, is that you're gargling and spitting out. And we understand why it's a hefset. And you have to say, that of course you can't gargle, but you have to say that you're gargling, if you are gargling, and you're swallowing it. Because that's not a normal way of eating it. Whereas putting it on Negro is a normal way of eating it.
Okay.
But for Rashi, if you're going to be consistent across the three prices, it should be mutter to drink olive oil. Which is particularly odd if you have the gersa that we have in our Tosefta, that you are Mishalim Zakir, Vein Mishalim Zachonash. So once you consider... What? It's not. That's the point.
No, I'm saying why should it be, according if you're going to read Rashi like
that? Now, the fact that a czar who drinks the aloe oil straight doesn't pay a chomesh tells you it's not drinking or eating.
Yeah.
Okay. And therefore, you're not being mekayim in the mitzvah truma.
Okay.
Truma was only, and shvias were only given lachila, shti, and sicha in the normal way. The fact that you don't pay chomesh on the shosa truma tells you that swallowing shem and shel truma was not only you don't pay chomesh, it's usher to do. If you're a kohen, you're not allowed to consume the olive oil that way. So what I'm saying is that if we have three brises that are essentially identical about lo yarenu b'shemen, but no seinu l'tuch haniglon, I presume that the three brises mean the exact same thing. And Rashi's interpretation in lo yarenu b'arav no seinu l'tuch haniglon might work in Hilcha Shabbos. I mean, you're allowed to be bolea b'shemen, you just can't gargle it and spit it out. It might work that the brisa formulates lo yarenu just because no people don't want to swallow olive oil, but enochanami it's mutter. But you can't say that by trumas and shvias. You can't interpret Rashi's reading of the brisa here, which does put the word b'shabbos in, but with or without the word. You could read the Tosefta and Shabbos in a vacuum the way Rashi does, but given that the Tosefta and Shabbos is identical in terms of the meaning of lo yarenu b'shemen, but no senhu tochanigron. But given that the three brises in Trubas and Shrias and Shabbos are identical, you're going to argue that Lo Yarenu and Shabbos means something different than it means in the other two.
It's certainly a little asymmetric, but I think it makes some sense. Because by the Havamina, that you'd be able to be Yarenu because you're using the olive oil for what it's normally being used for.
No. No. The whole point of Lo Yarenu is because that's not the normal way you consume olive oil. That's not a chila.
No, it's not a chila, but it is a normal way to use olive oil.
No, it's not. People don't swallow olive oil straight.
Your olive oil isn't swallowing. You're not.
Well, of course that's going to be usher by trumas and shrias, because mamish mafs in it. You didn't eat it. You spit it out.
Sure.
So, of course that's usher.
Yeah, but the
chiddush would presumably include even being balea, because truma is only nitan to consume it the way you normally consume it, and they don't prepare a shrias. So, anyway, okay. I think that in the Brice alone you can dispute, but when you look at the two parallels, and I didn't see anything you shown to make this observation, when you look at the parallel Toseftas, which are identical, in fact, in our Tosefta, they are identical. The word B'Shabbos isn't there, it's only in the Gemara. But I don't think that changes anything. So you're going to have to argue for Rashi that the words mean something different, or imply something different in Trumas and Shvias than they do in Shabbos. According to Tosis, it's perfectly consistent. According to Tosis, lo yarenu b'shemen means you cannot use shemen alone, whether you spit it out or swallow it, because that's not derech achila. So legabe Shvias and Trumas, it's hefsed, legabe Shabbos, it's refuah. But you can put l'toch hanigron, because that's considered derech achila. Therefore, it's la'achla v'lo l'hefsed, it's the mitzvah achila truma, and on Shabbos, it's not muchach that it's l'refuah. Okay. That's a mechkarish approach to dealing with, to analyzing this issue. Okay. Any questions?